Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes, absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Coe, Matt Harmon here with you. You are listening to Reception, Perception, the show. Welcome back to LA, pal. Matt Harmon back in the LA area getting ready for the draft.
It's very weird, James, to be staying in a hotel room in a town in which I used to live. I don't know if that's like you've ever experienced that, but like land in LA and immediately like just think, oh yeah, I'm popping down to El Segundo, down to the old house. No, going down here to the Hilton. So it's weird to be back, but good to be back at the same time. And I mean, hey. The great thing is it's finally draft week. We are here, man. We've made it.
Absolutely.
About to be done with all the rumors and the speculations, and we're finally just going to know where these players are going to be playing next year and beyond. And I tell you what, man, I can't wait. I'm ready to just do the post-draft analysis. But I feel like the closer and closer we get to Thursday's event, and obviously Friday and Saturday, I think we're in for a pretty wild and surprising NFL draft this year. Don't you agree? Because,
dude, totally agree. Totally. There's so many rumors right now, especially at the top, whether we're talking the 3 spot, the 4 spot, the 5 spot, the 6 spot. There's just so many opportunities for teams to trade up and then teams to trade down, obviously. And, man, there's just so many, you know, comparisons to all these quarterbacks and these wide receivers. Passing game offense right now, absolutely on fire. That's the name of the game. Not just in the NFL, but in this particular draft, Matt, I think it's all about quarterbacks and wide receivers in round one.
And, I mean, offensive linemen, too, like tackles and everything. So it is definitely a very offensive-heavy draft, so you know that's going to be great, obviously, for fantasy and everything. It's a great draft, and I just feel like because the draft is covered so intense, like every year just gets more and more intense and more eyeballs get into the whole thing. Honestly, like some of the ridiculousness becomes seemingly even more ridiculous every single year that I feel like people just have this kind of, and everybody and their mother, you know, except us, because we're real highbrow analysts. Everybody and their mother does a mock draft, you know, so it's just like everybody feels like, this is what's going to happen here. This is what's going to happen here. This quarterback's going to these. These are the teams that are taking quarterbacks. These are the teams that are taking receivers. Yep. Right. I feel like this stuff is all just going to get blown up here shortly. And that's very exciting.
Oh, it's going to be a ton of fun, man. Again, and what a cap it would be, right? To what, again, I have described as the most absolutely drunk, insane NFL offseason we have ever seen. I mean, this offseason has been amazing. A draft where we're that would feature multiple trades and just blows up everyone's mocks would just be the perfect cherry on top to what's been a great offseason thus far. But hey, listen, the folks, they want to hear about prospects, okay? And 3 new prospects have hit the site, receptionperception.com. We got a pair of wide receivers at a UW here, not named Rome Odunze. And man, we're going to talk about this kid, Javon Baker at a UCF, who I absolutely love.
Javon Baker.
Let's go.
Knew it.
Can't wait to talk about Javon Baker. I'm hyped, baby. I am so hyped. But can we first start talking about these pair of guys out of UW? UW, man, I swear to God, I mean, what an embarrassment of riches they had. I mean, they've got legitimately three NFL guys running around out there at wide receiver. We'll start with Jalen Polk, who, again, tested out, I thought, pretty well. When you're taking a look at some of his athletic scores, 6'1", 203, 4.52, which is a little bit slower than I thought he was going to run overall, 37.5-inch vertical. But, man, smooth deep route runner is Jalen Polk.
Yeah, overall just came away super impressed with Jalen Polk. You know, not like, I don't think he's the type of prospect that's going to come in and like knock your socks off with his tape or anything like that. Yeah, I don't think he's like that type of player. Obviously, you know, everybody here in Washington's offense like revolves, like Roma Dunze is the son. Everybody revolves around Roma Dunze. He's like that level of prospect. It's just, it's so easy to be so enthralled with Rome. Like if you've followed any of my draft coverage this offseason, you know how highly I view Roma Dunze. That being said, like, I really came away from Jalen Polk's film thinking like, man, this is a good player. Okay. And like, this is a good player who I think can do a lot of different things. You know, but again, I didn't really know what to expect going into Jalen Polk's film, other than I was kind of, he was the surprise 32nd overall pick in Peter Schrager's mock draft. You know, everybody always waits for Schrager's mock draft because he doesn't do like, you know, God bless our buddies like Daniel Jeremiah and like Field Gates and all these guys. They do like, you know, mock 6.7.0 or whatever. I think Schrager usually just does one. So when he like comes out with it, everybody pays attention to it. And he had Jalen Polk going to the 32nd overall pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was like, oh, I haven't watched Jalen Polk yet, but I better get my ass going on this. I gotta check this guy out. So go into his reception perception sample. And again, the first thing I think that stands out is you see him play a variety of different spots. He took 60.6% of his sample snaps outside. He traveled into the slot, 35.8%. So that's like a healthy number, is what I said in the profile. And he was used in pre-snap motion packages as well, 3.6% of his snaps in the backfield. Off the line, 47.1%. On the line, 52.9%. So that immediately jumps out as that, like, this is a guy that I think can play in a variety of different spots. Is he like a true X receiver prospect? No, I don't think so. I think he's yet another one of these like kind of slot flanker hybrids, but definitely not a pure slot receiver either. There's a lot of things in his profile that make me think he can be an outside receiver and somebody that contributes in that way.
So I really liked a lot of the stuff that I saw on the outside there. Again, the catch radius certainly comes to mind when you start talking about what this guy can do. I mean, I wrote down catch radius for days. I mean, full extension in every direction, and he can make those plays. Great hands. I like Jalen Polk's hands as well, especially on these deeper routes too. Again, when we start talking about catch radius, what does that mean? It's truly just full extension, body just laying out, and full extension in all directions. This guy can go and grab that football out of the air. That's what I really liked about Jalen Polk from just a pass catching perspective. But I think overall, again, you take a look at some of those combine numbers. Again, 4.52, 37.5-inch vertical. I think that shows up on tape too, right? Like, he wasn't totally the twitchiest player from an explosive standpoint.
I wrote in the profile that I think he's got good build-up speed. And that shows up, I think, in the intermediate areas. Like, you look at his route charts and, you know, the slant route success rate is below average, 75.6%. He ran the slant at a good clip there. I think sometimes when you see him in man coverage looks, when he's just got to quickly get off the line, he's definitely not one of the top players in the class. But overall, like, 58th percentile success rate versus press, that's, you know, it's above average. That's fine. 68.1% success rate versus man coverage. Again, that's well within a pretty solid mark in terms of ability to win in one-on-one situations. But in man coverage specifically, I think where Polk ends up shining is like on dig routes and post routes and curl routes. I mean, our coveted intermediate area, James, is where I think he really gets that build up speed going downfield. And I think he almost kind of like sneaks up on defensive backs. Like, this is a guy, they think they've got him locked up early in the route. Like, I think if you just scout the first 1 second of Jalen Polk's route running, you might not come away from it, but he gets that kind of like late separation. And you're so right to point out the hands, man. He's got great hands. I mean, he's definitely not Roma Dunze, right? Who I think has the best hands in the class, but he's not too far off of his teammate there. I mean, he didn't drop a pass over his reception perception sample, same as Rome. Saw a contested target on 30.2% of his sampled looks, and he had an 84.6% contested catch rate. So, like, in terms of contested catch receivers, Roma Dunze and Jalen Polk are pretty close. Like, I think he's got very good, reliable hands. So, like, with that kind of late separation, both in the routes and then at the catch point, I think you're just looking at a guy that, man, if we can get him the ball in the intermediate area, I think there's a lot of paths for him to be a player that picks up some chunk gains in the league.
For me, I just look at this player. I look at the build. I look at the tape. I look at these RP numbers. Everything to me screams flanker slot player. And the guy can just come in immediately and play flanker slot, whether we're talking down the field, intermediate, some underneath stuff as well. There's just a lot to like about this guy's game readiness in terms of being able to play day one and contribute to an NFL football team.
I totally agree. Flanker slot for sure. You know, I think that he's also like a great dirty work player. He'll get in and mix it up in the run game. I can see these Shanahan offenses really loving him. I've been told by someone who would know that one of these teams, won't say which one it is, they are obsessed with getting their version of Juwan Jennings, which I know that doesn't sound like, oh boy, we got to get the next Juwan Jennings on the field.
Exactly. Right.
But like, stick with me here. A third receiver who's just like totally the dirty work guy, you know, gets into it in the run game. You know, Juwan Jennings, great blocking receiver. I interviewed him at the Super Bowl about wide receiver blocking. Like, that's his mentality as a player. But he's also a guy that they can go to in critical down and distance situations because he's got good hands and he's got some pretty savvy route running. That sounds a lot like Jalen Polk, right? I mean, so I think that these teams are gonna love him. Like, this system of offenses is gonna love him. And since we're talking player comparisons, I mean, I have to share what I wrote in the profile. Don't put it in the newspaper. Do not aggregate me. You know, don't give me to Dove Kleinman or JPA Football or ML, any of those goofballs. Don't put this on social media that I said that Jalen Polk is the next Puka Nacua, because he's not the next Puka Nacua. But I do think he's in that same family of wide receivers, right, James? Right, like, think about all the things that we just said. Not the twitchiest player, but kind of sneaks up on you from a long speed perspective. Like, you know, he's got that build up speed down the field, tough as shit. I mean, Puka is that guy. Like, I remember writing about Puka pre-draft. Like, he brings a rugged style of play to the wide receiver position. Jalen Polk, I think, brings that rugged style of play to the wide receiver position. So, again, I'm not saying that, like, we'll never be able to actually compare players to Puka Nacua, especially right now after his rookie season.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like,
ever again. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Historic. Go viral on Twitter. Yeah. Go viral on Twitter saying the next Puka Nacua. Right. But I think it's in the same like family bucket of receivers.
It's interesting because just because I feel like with his build, I was surprised by his toughness overall. You know, he doesn't stand out as the you know, thickest build of players, certainly 6'1", 203. I mean, he's not one of these 185 guys, obviously. But still, though, you know, it's like when you see him on the football field, you're not thinking toughness. But the guy does get after it a little bit. To me, when I looked at him play, I was like, okay, this guy is a grittier version of like a Jordan Addison or something. You know, just somebody who, again, I think can be a number two, a really good number two. I don't ever see him being, you know, a dominant number one unless something changes there. But again, I like all the real life football things that Jalen Polk certainly brings to the table. For Washington, he was their second best receiver, right? Well, obviously, next to Roma Dunze here. 69 receptions, 1159 through the air, and 9 touchdowns for Jalen Polk. This role, Matt, as the number two receiver in this Washington passing game, actually belonged to Jalen McMillan in 2022. It's really hard not to at least look at both of these players together here. Now, Jalen McMillan, 6'1", 197, again, very similar build to Jalen Polk. He actually ran a faster 40 than Jalen Polk, right? 4.47 40 time, 37-inch vertical, 10.7 broad jump. These numbers from the combine, they are so ridiculously similar. And yet, I felt like Jalen Polk played a lot faster than Jalen McMillan. And I get it. Listen. I get it, guys. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I know that Jalen McMillan got hurt. I get it. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, even when you look at his 2022 film, I think he plays a little bit slower than what you would expect from a 4.47 40.
Yeah, so for his reception perception sample, because I've been saying this, I'm trying to avoid, you know, another Rashee Rice situation where I take a bunch of games where he was clearly injured. So I took some early games from 23 before the injury, so like the first 3 weeks, the game against Michigan, like all the way at the end of the season, and then I put in a handful of 2022 games. So I'm with you that whatever I say here is based on the full body of work, not like a bunch of games in the middle of the season when he's clearly dealing with an injury.
Yeah.
I did come away with Jalen McMillan's film sort of feeling, and it's interesting, right, where you mentioned that he, being Jalen Polk, plays like faster. I think he does have that build-up speed that we just talked about with him, but McMillan, I think, actually is a little twitchier off the line of scrimmage and in kind of the shorter areas, but I don't think then he gets that separation down the field as much.
Right.
Like, I think he's sort of kind of like a one note, one speed route runner, but he gets to that speed pretty quickly off the line. It's hard to take in his profile and hard to watch him and not just think like he's destined to be a slot only player in the league. 83.1% of his sample snaps were in the slot, in the backfield for 4.8%. And he was off the line of scrimmage on 77.5%. So again, a very kind of narrow application of like a slot only player. Whereas so many of the guys we've talked about in this class, you know, whether it's Jalen Polk, whether it's Ricky Pearsall, whether it's Ladd McConkey, you know, sort of in a, you know, kind of higher tier there. Although I don't know. When I actually sit down and rank Jalen Polk, I haven't sat down and updated the stacked rankings yet, probably by the time you guys have heard this, because I have been on a freaking airplane all day. Hopefully I'm bringing enough energy for a guy that woke up at 4 a.m. Eastern and is now here at 6:30 p.m. Pacific.
Crazy.
But but so I haven't updated the stacked rankings just yet, but when I do like slide Jalen Polk in there, I actually might have him ranked pretty high. But with McMillan, again, when I'm weighing him against these other guys that have some, I'll call it slot ability in this class, I just think he's a little more narrow in terms of like, I think I only see him running routes from the slot, and I only sort of see him working on specific routes.
So, again, kind of taking his 2022 and 2023 and combining it and giving me a more of a holistic approach here. Overall, though, I would say that his success rates on a lot of these routes and his role as you say, a slot player, there's a lot of red flags. There's a lot of concerning marks, I think, when you take a look at his RP profile. First of all, he didn't do anything downfield that looked even remotely good. You know, 48% success rate on the nine, 47% success rate on the post. That is just a 47% success rate on the post. When you're running 12% of your routes as a post, Matt, that is bonkers bad.
Yeah.
That is bonkers bad.
They tried to get him some plays downfield. And he definitely was post routes and nine routes, not good. Now, he does have an 80% success rate on corner routes, which is pretty high. And they tried to get him a little bit of those. I do think he works, you know, that was okay. That was good to see. But it's a small sample of routes, right? We're only talking about 5.6% of his sample routes, even if that's above the collegiate average. So, yeah, I'm with you that, like, any sort of downfield stuff, you know, not good. I don't think he's going to bring you that speed slot receiver element, right? That's definitely not going to be him. He's not tiny, is Jalen McMillan? You know, he's not.
He's pushing.
He's not
bills.
A little. Right, he's pushing 200, but I also wouldn't necessarily call him like a true power slot. Right, like he's 6'1", 197. He's not.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people push back at me because I put like Amon-Ra St. Brown in the power slot category because he's like 6 foot over, just over 200 pounds, or right around 200 pounds. But like, he's just more compactly built. Like than a guy like Jalen
McMillan. Rocked up, man.
Yeah, he's rocked up. He's with McMillan, I think he's more of like a slender athlete, slender build there. So when we're talking about slot receivers and like the overall success rate for zone is not good, like 74.1%, because he just doesn't give you anything really downfield. But you look at his man coverage scores, like actually weirdly better, right? 69.2%.
Right.
He didn't like hardly face any press coverage because he's only in the slot in this Washington offense. He's got a lot of free releases, but that man coverage ability, like, it almost kind of the way he wins on like slants and flats and digs, which is pretty critical, right? If you're going to be a slot receiver, you need to win on those three routes. And that was about 38-39% of his sampled routes. So that is important. I do think that he sort of reminded me a little bit of like Hunter Renfro. Like he could have that type of career path where he's, you know, he's bigger than Hunter Renfro. I get that. I understand that. Yeah. But like that man coverage ability, you know, that was Hunter Renfro's kind of thing, like in critical down and distance and in the red zone situation. I could see McMillan being that guy, but you know, I people that listen to this podcast know that I've always kind of like rolled my eyes about the Hunter Renfro hype, that like, yeah, he's a good player, but like he's a little overrated by the public. I do think that happens with like this limited arc type of slot receivers, and I do kind of, as I like Jalen McMillan's game, but I kind of think he fits into that bucket.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
So again, when we talk about some of these red flags here, I'll start with what I like. Obviously, above 85% success rate on the slant, beautiful number to see. 83% success rate on the dig. You guys know us; we love the dig route. Didn't run a ton of dig route, but did run about 20% of his routes on the slant. Right. So these are good; those are good numbers. But I always go back to this, and all my fellow alignment kings know I've said this a million times. If you're going to play out of the, slot, got to be good against zone. You got to do it.
Yep.
But the problem is he's not good against zone, Matt. 74% success rate versus zone. And if you're new to, us here, right, especially at the collegiate level, I mean, even at the pro level too, but at the collegiate level, you want to see that success rate at or above 80%. Right. And for him to be at 74% success rate versus zone, to me, I think that's a huge red flag if we're talking about a guy in that, in your opinion, and especially what he's done in his collegiate career, needs to play out of the slot. To me, to me, that's a non-starter, to be honest with you, when we're talking about this type of player.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say non-starter, but I totally hear you, like in terms of when there's just so many good slot options in this class that like, I think I'll end up having McMillan slotted as like a day three guy, whereas I think Polk, I think I might have as definitely a day two, maybe even priority round two type of player, because I just really, really like his game that much. So just not to just keep comparing these teammates, but it's obviously easy to do, and yes, I watched them back to back. That it just, again, there's so many free releases too with Jalen McMillan. Like 2.8% of his routes he saw press coverage in terms of the games I sampled. So that's just like not very NFL-y, right? And he's still kind of struggling with the zone coverage and stuff like that. I think my two notes on it is, one, I do think he's got a little more quick twitch ability off the line than Jalen Polk does, but I don't see a lot of burst from him at like the stems of routes necessarily, especially working like outbreaking routes. And then really the thing for me is like, I need him to be a lot tighter working back to the quarterback. Like if you're going to be a zone cover, like you're going to be a slot receiver and you're going to be that kind of like reliable target in against zone coverage, you know, you got to work curls and comebacks and like settle into zones and present just like, hey, here's my numbers, right? Yep. Like quarterback. Mm-hmm. These are my numbers. Throw it to me. And like that's where McMillan to me it like needs to be faster. Needs to speed up a little bit. But I do like him. The things I like are where he's working slants and flats, like kind of those short routes off the line of scrimmage, and the dig route too was pretty impressive when he can kind of get that. Like he's got a good understanding of leverage, I think, on those dig routes.
So I do want to go back to his 2022 production, though, and I'm sure there's going to be some, if there's a Jalen McMillan, you know, super fan or something out there, he's probably screaming right now, being like,
and there are, when he, by the way, there are, yeah, I know, there I know. Definitely are.
when he was healthy, this man was an absolute baller. He was better than Jalen Polk, which is true. In 2022, he was far more productive and again, a more productive player than Jalen Polk. So I'll throw that to you, Matt Harmon. How do you explain, is it just the health? Is it, how do you explain the flip in production? And really, again, truly, in 2022, he really did have a very nice season. You know, we're talking about 79 receptions, nearly 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns in 2022 versus 2023, where, again, he was played hurt about half the year. He only had about 560 yards with 5 touchdowns.
Yeah. I think McMillan's a nice player, right? Like, I think that what we saw from him in college, I understand why the production was what it was. I think actually he fits really well as like a collegiate slot receiver because he can beat these man coverage looks and stuff like that. So I get that. And I guess he was probably just in the coaching staff's view a little bit ahead of Jalen Polk at that point. But here's the thing, guys, like, players can get better. Right?
development happens. Yeah.
Development happens. And I think Polk clearly must have taken a step because the film this year was great and like the results mm-hmm. were great. And then he just took a step. And who was it in the NFL this past year that like made a big deal about, you can't lose your job due to injury or whatever? Like I was injured and I can't, it's like, I'm, people are listening to this are definitely going to tell me who it was, but I feel like there was someone this past uh-huh. year that kind of
running
threw,
back.
I don't know.
It feels like that feels like a Baltimore running back conversation right there.
It was either that or a quarterback or something. Like I lost my job due to injury or something.
Oh my gosh. Minnesota's quarterback, the rookie they had, and he got a concussion that time. Isn't that what he said?
Dude, no way was I paying attention to Minnesota. Jaren Hall? I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, Jaren Hall? No, okay, I don't know. Maybe, shoot, I don't know. I feel like maybe that was Jaren Hall, though. I don't know. That quote definitely sounds very familiar, though.
It sounds familiar. Anyways, point being, and it was Kenny Pickett. I think it was Kenny Pickett.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Maybe not. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. Anyways, point being, someone definitely threw like a little bit of a, you know, they were not happy about losing their okay. job because of injury. But like, here's the deal. Yeah, you can. Okay. Like, yes, you can.
Happens all the time, man.
Let me tell you what. Hey, I get sick. And then someone, some Yahoo gets another podcast host, then they're better and cheaper, but, and they're better. Like, then they're just going to do that person, right? Like it happens all the time. It happens in the real yeah. world. Certainly happens in sports. If you, don't go back out there, like you just, and then the other person is there and like they've developed and they've taken steps to be better. Like they can just pass you up in the depth chart and like, what happened in 22 doesn't hold more weight just because it happened first is kind of what I'm saying. Long, stupid tangent there. And it's killing me to not remember the player I'm thinking about. But anyways, point being, you can lose your job because of injury. And just because McMillan was better earlier, I don't think necessarily means like he's definitely better than Polk.
So Chuck Pagano said you cannot lose your job because of injury in regards to Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph and the Mitch Trubisky starting tandem there in Pittsburgh. I don't know. That might be what we are remembering here. I don't know. Anyways, regardless, who cares about the Pittsburgh quarterback situation? Who cares? Let's move on.
I think it actually might have been Jameis Winston last year. Anyways,
oh yeah,
I think that okay. I think that's who it was, and I think it actually was Jameis Winston with the 2022 Saints.
Why are we putting so much effort into this? This makes no sense. But there's an actual term for that. I mean, like you got Wally Pipped. Okay, like right. There's a like you lose your job because of injury. It opens the door opportunities for another player, and that player takes over, and that we've got special phrasing for it, even for God's sakes. Anyway, so it can't happen. Regardless,
I mean, didn't Tom Brady only get into the game with the Patriots because Drew Bledsoe got hurt?
Yep.
So.
Yep.
That's it happens. The greatest player in the
Wally Pip.
Yeah, the greatest player in the sport, not named Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, his whole career is based off this principle. So okay, James Winston, calm down.
Okay,
James Winston, Kenny Pickett, give me a break. Yeah, if you're James Winston, you're Kenny Pickett, you can lose your job due to injury. Okay,
yes, you can. You certainly can. All right, so there you go. I know that debate though, in regards to Jalen McMillan versus Jalen Polk, will have some legs, you know, because again, you take a look at the production there between 2022 and 2023. It's a stark contrast, right? But again, there's just so many red flags in regards to McMillan's profile from a reception profile standpoint in regards to his role in the NFL. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm a little bit all the way out here on Jalen McMillan. But you know who I'm all the way in on? Javon Baker, my God, UCF. Come on, let's go. 6'1", 202. He ran a 4.54 40, 37-inch vertical, and a 10.1 broad jump. So just from a testing profile, it did not test well, okay? Below average athlete in regards to testing. But my Jesus Christ, Matt, this guy can play. Holy hell, this guy can play. Contested catch aficionado is Javon Baker, man. I love what this guy does from an ex-receiver perspective.
Yeah, I feel like if Javon Baker had even just run a 4.42, you would have wanted to put him up there with like Brian Thomas.
100%. I'm in. I mean, the fact that he's, he ran a 4.54 hurts me, okay? It hurts me, okay? But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
My God, you throw on the tape, though. Holy shiza. This guy can play, man. I love this guy.
Yeah, he can really play. I'm a fan overall. He does have what I would say like is a bit of a mixed profile in reception perception. Let's get the negative thing out of the way.
Okay.
And like it's a little bit like kind of a negative because he lined up on outside on the left on 70.7% of his sampled snaps that I charted last year, which if you go back through the history of reception perception, mm-hmm. it's a pretty big red flag for these guys to take a vast majority of snaps on one side of the field. Now, so again, people know that I've only sampled some players from 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and then the last four draft classes. So I don't have data on 2019 or 2020 prospects. So if you scream through the mic or through your earbuds or whatever about any like DK Metcalf or whatever, I didn't chart that draft class. But mm-hmm. like you look at some of the players who have been lined up a majority on one side of the field, it's like Kevin White, Corey Coleman, uh-oh, Josh Doxton, Laquan Treadwell. You know, I mean, Quentin Johnston last year, you know, Cedric Tillman, like some really big time busts. Yeah, maybe Cedric Tillman's fine. I don't know. There's really only four players that I've charted that have turned out to be like what I would say high quality starters at some point.
Okay.
You know, Juju Smith-Schuster, but he moved inside. Rashee Rice, mm-hmm. he moved inside. Then Drake London and DJ Moore. I think those are the two like outside hits. But even DJ Moore like took a little bit to get rolling in the NFL as a route runner, right?
And
my theory on this is just like, this does not map to the NFL at all. You almost never see guys just line up on one side of the field unless you're in Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
I was just about to say.
Offense.
Yeah, we haven't gone full Cliff Kingsbury here, but 70% on one side is a lot.
Is a lot. I mean, and he was running nuke on like 80% from like one spot. It was absolutely insane. But anyway, so it just doesn't map to the NFL. And you just think about it, like you got to – like learn how to do everything like on with both hands, right? I mean, even like guys talk about this, like the way they attack the football on like crossing routes, you know, you're flipping your hands around, right? Because just you're trying to receive the football. So mm-hmm. that's a part of it. The way you bend and run routes, like that's a part of it. I will say with Baker, like, I mean, again, he's 70.7%, so he barely meets my threshold here. And also I did have people point out that he didn't operate this way in 2022 for whatever reason. So you actually see him mix around. So I don't really know if he fits into this group, but he is definitely like stripped down Big 12 route tree receiver that lines up primarily on one side of the field in his best collegiate season, which has been a red flag for some of these guys, like I mentioned, the Corey Colemans, the Josh Doxtons, these type of players. James Washington, that's another one. You know, again, there are some guys that ended up being fine. James Washington, like Josh Reynolds, these guys ended up being fine, but still. So that, get that out of the way first. Other than that, though, yeah, he's a really exciting player. he's okay. The two things that I think are really interesting with him is, one, definitely shows you a real ability to beat press when he sees it. Didn't see it a lot in, you know, the Big 12 and that weirdo conference, but right. 88th percentile success rate versus Ooh. Press, like 78.3%. That is up there with like Marvin Harrison and Roma Good Dunze. Lord. He ranks third behind those guys in terms of success rate versus press. So that's pretty nuts. His success rate versus man and man and zone are pretty solid, 70.3%, 80.2% respectively. And James, we have to note this, all these solid success rates came when he ran a 9 route on, wait for it, 35.6% of his charted routes.
That is stupid.
What? I mean, stupid. You look at the data from this class, and there's hardly any guys that are over 20% because teams aren't just trying to chuck it at this point, even in college football. So that's pretty impressive when he's a real big boy downfield receiver too. Like yeah, it's open on those routes. So I think that has to be the craziest part about his profile, is that he is like literally actually doubling up some of the other receivers we talk about and the amount of go routes he is running, and he still showed an ability to get open.
That's insane, man. 45% of this man's routes were dedicated to the 9 post and corner routes, so deeper routes. 45%, they're asking this guy to go downfield to make a play, and you know what? He was doing just that, man. Really, really impressive stuff from Javon Baker. I want to dig into some of these routes specifically, and a couple of notes here that I did find it really interesting too, but let's start with the good stuff here, okay? So again, 61.5% success rate on the 9, which is extremely high. Great to see. On the post route, man, 93.3% success rate. What? That's insane. 87.5% success rate on the corner route. Come on, brother. Like, Whew. I get it. I mean, it's craziness what he is doing downfield. Okay, now, downfield, he's great. I love him. I love the contested catch. I mean, Jesus Christ, this guy. I mean, you talk about the after catch ability too. You want to talk about lunch pail players, bro? You better bring your lunch pail when you're playing Javon Baker, because man, he is looking to embarrass you after the catch. You know, this guy's he reminds me a little bit of a little angry player like Steve Smith a little bit after the catch point. Not quite as feisty, obviously, as Steve, but man, he's got that. When they talk about that dog, he's got that dog in him for sure.
Yeah, I thought like a Doug Baldwin type, like little angry Doug.
Yeah,
Baldwin.
There you go. Yes.
Obviously, they couldn't be more different, like really in terms of where they're deployed and routes and all that stuff. But yeah, I kind of just thought about it that way. And yeah, I mean, just all the way around, like again, just to put this in context, 35.6% of his sampled routes are 9 routes. Number 2 in the class is Jermaine Burton at 21.7%. So, huge gap. Only 2 other guys, A.D. Mitchell, Marvin Harrison, had a go route rate over 20%. That's banana insane. Stuff. I mean, just absolutely wild. Crazy. And like we're saying, I think he's one of the better downfield like outside of the elite top 3 guys. You kind of have to caveat that with anything here. But like he's really, I think, one of the better downfield players in the class. Like, if you're looking for a vertical X receiver, and you know, let's just say top 3 guys are off the board, you didn't have a shot at them, right? In the draft. I always come back to the Bills with this example. I actually think like Javon Baker on the Bills is a pretty good landing spot, because I think he'd give them the actualized version of what Gabe Davis was supposed to be. Ironically, another UCF product. But if you are, you didn't get one of the big 3. You weren't going to get those guys. You didn't get Brian Thomas. A.D. Mitchell went higher than you expected. Like, look at the board. Like, who is the next X receiver prospect? Who's the next highest guy, you know, that is a true X? Because when you get to day 2, after the, after kind of like I said, the A.D. Mitchells, I think A.D. Mitchell's going in the first round. Like, that's just generally been my vibe. But it's a lot of guys like Ricky Pearsall. It's like Ladd McConkey. It's certainly like Xavier Worthy. I mean, Troy Franklin played X, but like, I don't want him playing X in the NFL. Keon Coleman, you know, I don't want him playing X in the NFL. Like, Xavier Legette, no. Like, please, unless we're going for like the... Unless we're going for the Alshon Jeffrey archetype that we talked about, and I think right. there's just so much more to his game than that. The next best, like, pure X, like, vertical downfield X receiver is probably Javon Baker.
There is so much, again, about his profile that's really interesting. I think Brian Thomas is still, to me, a much clearer prospect than Baker. But, dude, you can't tell me that... I'd love to know what his, you know, his profile is like in terms of his, you know, in terms of his mentals, man, because I just feel like this guy might work really hard to be the best version of himself. And if you get that guy in the building, sign me up, man. I love this guy so much. I want to bring up a little bit of a weird oddity in his profile, though. You gave him an NA score on comebacks and flats because he just didn't run them.
He didn't run them. Yeah, he did not run comeback routes and did not run flat routes. So it looks weird when you're looking at his route chart and those are just empty. Like I said, that is one thing when we're projecting Javon Baker that we do have to talk about is like he does fit into that archetype of Big 12 receivers that run these stripped down route trees. I mean, you just like if you combine the 9 route and the curl route, I mean, that's like well over 50%, almost 60% of his sampled routes. You know, slant routes even 9.6%.
Right.
This is weird, right? I mean, even he's not getting any of these like bunny hop layup targets. I think he can do that, right? Like he definitely showed like curl route success rate is high, 87.8%. That's pretty awesome. Slant route, 81%. Like he can do more than what he did. I think that's my overall thought is he could do more than he did at UCF. But it's just like what's the developmental curve? That I think is going to be the biggest question. Is this a guy that's ready to rock from day one? You know, I'm not 100% sure about that, but I ended up kind of giving him a Michael Gallup comp. And you know, I know people think Michael Gallup stinks now, but like Michael Gallup had 1,100 yards without playing a full season in his second season. But he didn't really do much in his first year, but he kind of popped up in that second season. It's like, oh man, like this guy can play because he was that vertical X receiver, ran downfield routes, but I think was underrated as a technician in the short and intermediate areas. And that's really where I think I think that Baker can kind of fit into. And with Gallup, it was just his career got kind of torn apart literally when his knee got torn up at the end of that one season. He just never really got back on track. But I thought he was kind of developing into a really high quality, maybe not number one receiver, but a really high quality two. And I think that Baker could be a guy that fits in early as that vertical receiver, downfield guy. You know, you mentioned the contested catch ability. He doesn't have like one of the highest contested catch rates I charted, but like it is worth noting that he's nearly at 70%. And those were not easy contested catches. Let me tell you that.
Every game, it's ridiculous what he's doing against coverage down the field. He's beating safeties and all like that. Man, he's everywhere. He's fighting. Yeah. I mean, he's fighting. That's what I love about this guy. He's a fighter.
As somebody that charts contested catches, right, it's part of what I do with reception perception. When we're throwing these guys, like this guy's contested catch rate versus this guy's contested catch rate, some quarterbacks make it easier on you than other guys, okay? Some guys throw you into those contested situations, and then some guys, you know, don't throw you into it as well as they could, if that makes sense. I would say that the quarterbacks playing with Javon Baker were definitely that, right? Throw him into contested situations and don't do it well in a point where he can really win that pass. So, again, the Michael Gallup comp just comes, like, makes a lot of sense to me because can play in that vertical role early and then develop a little maybe because right now I do think Baker needs to work like the intermediate middle of the field a little bit better if he's going to be like a high volume player. He's not full Gabe Davis. Like I said, I think he is better than Gabe Davis as a route runner, as a technician. But you know, if we're going to have him be a guy that we can really throw the ball to like 120 targets, I do think he's got to develop a little bit there.
So Steve Smith, the incomparable Steve Smith, compared Javon Baker to Brandon Lloyd, which I love. I know that's, really that's going to be, I know that's going to be a before some people's times.
TBT.
Here, but, you know, Brandon Lloyd, by the way, and again, I he played in the league a long time, but only had a few seasons where you're like, oh wow, this guy is really really good. But remember that 1 year for Denver. Okay, he had 1,450 yards receiving in 16 games for Denver back in 2010 to go along with 11 touchdowns. I mean, he was balling that year with Denver, man. I feel like he didn't quite get a ton of opportunities. He didn't play with a ton of great quarterbacks either. Like in 2005.
He led the league in receiving yards that year. He led the league in Brandon Lloyd led the league in receiving yards in 2010, that season that you're talking about. What Denver team was that? That was the Josh McDaniels. That was the year Josh McDaniels got fired in the middle of the year.
Oh, my God. It was. Oh, my God. That's insane.
What a random
That was
season.
Kyle.
Jabbar Gaffney, Kyle, second on the team.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful. Tim Tebow was still on his team. Kyle Orton was the starting quarterback, though. He played 13 games. Kyle Orton, Brandon Lloyd, 1450. What? Come on, dude. That's crazy. Great stuff. Anyways, great comp, I think, from Steve Smith. In regards to Brandon Lloyd, because man, go, by the way, very underrated, because dude, I'm telling you, go pop on a Brandon Lloyd like highlight mixtape. He's got so many circus catches. It's ridiculous. It's just, they didn't translate into a lot of stats because he didn't play with great quarterbacks. But man, his highlight reel is really cool. It's a great watch, is the Brandon Lloyd highlight mixtape, man. But Steve Smith compared him to Brandon Lloyd, which I think is great, right? Because Brandon Lloyd also was a little bit of an undersized X receiver. And I think that's what Javon Baker is. He's a little bit of an, I mean, 6'1", 202, you know, again, not your prototypical, X receiver guy, there, but I think in today's NFL, I think it's fine. I think that'll work. I think he could do some of the in-breaking stuff too. 81% success rate on slants, 88% success rate on curl routes. That's outstanding. Okay. Now again, 62% success rate on the digs, Matt. That obviously needs to improve, but I think when you kind of like take a look at the rest of his route tree, I would not be surprised at all if he puts a little bit of work into that. That score goes, you know, goes up considerably.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that's the case. As for now, I think he's that kind of downfield receiver that we're working on him a little bit in terms of those, that dig route, right? Because like I said, if he is going to, I mean, shoot, we could just call this reception perception the dig route show, right? Because I feel like we talk about dig routes
we love every episode. Yeah.
But you need to win on that route right now to be like one of the guys, because with the way defenses are playing right now, and
it's a cover two beater.
It is what it is. Okay. You want to be a number one receiver. You want to be a high target volume player. Win on the dig route. Okay. And I think Javon Baker, that's where we do have to get a little bit better. We got to take a step there to be kind of take that next step as a player overall. Yeah, I'm with you that I do think he can do it. I'm not ruling it out. I just think that's sort of the missing piece of the puzzle. Where would you, James Coe, the GM, where you take Javon Baker? Where do you rank him? Because I'm definitely having trouble with like weighing him in my tiers in terms of, you know, again, some of the players I just talked about that are kind of project-y at X and don't have that clear transition plan.
You know what's crazy, man? I know I'm going to sound, this is a little hot takey. I like him better than A.D. Mitchell, just straight up. And I know A.D. is going to go in the first round, but I like him better than A.D. Mitchell. I think he's got a little bit more extra oomph to his game. I think he's a little bit more versatile than what Mitchell is bringing to the table right now. I like him a clear step below Thomas. Clear step below. Thomas is definitely going in the first round, though. He's probably going, what, like the first 15 picks, I think. So, okay, let me ask you this. Javon Baker, Troy Franklin, where are we going? Who do you like better?
Yeah, see, that's where I'm weighing him. I also think I kind of want to bump. I initially put Troy Franklin in my priority round two. I think I kind of want to bump him down to just regular old day two draft pick.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Because I do like Javon Baker a little bit better, and I just the more I've thought about Troy Franklin, like I just think he's got a very mid profile.
Yeah,
but yeah, Yeah. I do just want to make it clear with Baker, though, that there's part of me, like, if we, because I don't want to just paint all rosy and be, oh my God, he's going to be Michael Gallup or Brandon Lloyd, lead the league in receiving yards. Like, I do think there's a chance he could be, because of some of the volatility I talked about earlier, right. Like, he could be kind of like a, I made this comparison in Discord, like a fancy, a better version of Diami Brown. And, you know, everybody in Discord's like, oh yeah, I'll keep my pants on for that player, okay? Like, better version of Diami Brown. I think that is a chance Baker could be that guy. But I also just think I just have a lot of conviction that he will be a good downfield threat in the league. Whereas a guy like Troy Franklin, I don't really have conviction that he is going to be a downfield threat in the league.
Totally.
Like, I just don't, because he doesn't trust his hands, and his route running is good, but he just, like, you want to talk about physical? Like, Javon Baker definitely plays physical. Troy Franklin didn't.
No. Zero physicality. I mean, first of all, he's 176 pounds, dude. Like, you know, it's not going to work. Obviously, he's got a speed profile for days, 4.4, 140, 39-inch vertical for Troy Franklin. So, but yeah, there was some seriously bad drops in his profile too, man. So, man, you know what? Go ahead and give me Javon Baker over over Troy Franklin too. But again, I'm out here saying I like him better than A.D. Mitchell too, man. So,
That's too far for me. I don't think I can put him in the tier with A.D. Mitchell.
Which is totally fine. Yeah.
I just think I'm looking at this, I need to bump Franklin down, and I think
you got
to
move same Baker tier. Up.
No, I think Baker's got to be same tier. Like, I think they're all. That's just the thing with this class, man. There's just a lot of guys that are kind of that good day two picks.
Yep. Solid.
Which, you know, there are a lot of guys in my my rankings last year that were good day two picks. The thing is that, like, there's some, and that's not a bust proof ranking, by the way. Like, you have your Jaden Reeds, but, like, also Jonathan Mingo and Marvin Mims are there. Like, sometimes it's like, well, sometimes you see a guy has it early, and then sometimes you see a guy does not have it early. And I think that's kind of these players that we're talking about, the Troy Franklins, the Xavier Leggetts, the Javon Bakers. I think they're all sort of like Cedric Tillman was in this bucket, and I do think there's some similarity. Baker's better, but I think there's some similarity between the Cedric Tillman and the Javon Baker profile. So that's kind of just where we're at, I think. But that was a good question in terms of Troy Franklin. There's a lot of guys that are sort of in this group, like good day two draft picks. The thing is that there's just like the real dudes up at the top, which we did not have last year.
Yeah, studs, absolute beasts up top. The last thing I'll say about Javon Baker, man, I actually would like him to get some of these players. I think would be better off developing slowly, right? Being a number 2, 3, 4 option on their offense, right? Making some splash plays now and then, developing as a player. Again, take that Rashee Rice role, man. You know, come along slowly, and if you're playing your best ball at the end of the year, that's a win. Javon Baker to me is not that guy. I want to see Baker come out and go to a super wide receiver needy team and just show out and just be that guy. You know, get a lot of reps, get a lot of targets, and just, dude, get a lot of snaps and just play a lot of football. Because I think if Baker can do that and is put into that situation, I think that's the situation to me where I think he will shine the brightest. Honestly, that is truly the situation I want for Baker, because I really do think that his upside, I'm so in love with this guy's upside.
Yeah, knew you would be. Bills, Chiefs, Cowboys. Like, if you want to see Baker have some success, all three of those teams have guys. Like, they wouldn't have to, Baker wouldn't have to be carry a big load early.
Yeah,
But he would be the top vertical X on those teams. So those are kind of three spots I've kicked around for Baker. And I do think if the Bills miss out on, you know, some of the big boy X receiver prospects early, same thing with the Chiefs. Although, how is Jermaine Burton not going to be a Chief and, like, go to the Pro Bowl, even though everybody's going to drop him for character concerns? How is that not going to happen? But, again, so all those spots, I think, make sense for a guy like Javon Baker to go through the developmental path that we're kind of laying out here.
I don't know why. I feel like the Bills would be the perfect spot for him. I also want to see him playing in cold weather. I don't know what it is, man. It's something about these tough players, you know, these just hard-nosed players, man, playing in cold weather that just does it for me. That's what I want to see. So I like the idea of him playing in a Buffalo Bills uniform, playing alongside Josh Allen and Curtis Samuel, man. That'd be a great tandem, a great duo of receivers there. for Buffalo, in my mind, So we'll see what's going on. So anyways, there you go. Obviously, it's all gas, no brakes for me in regards to Javon Baker, but go to the website, receptionperception.com. Formulate your own opinions, man. Look at the numbers, read the profile, go watch some game tape and stuff like that and see what's going on, man. It's a really interesting read on all three of these guys that we talked about here today. Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan, and now Javon Baker as well. Receptionperception.com. If you're still with us, like and subscribe to the podcast. Go check out Matt's YouTube as well. But anyways, we will be back with you here in a couple of days as we get ready for the draft, man. Good times. Exciting stuff here. Let's go, baby. I love it. The draft is upon us. So there you go. That's the show. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. And remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. Peace.